Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy, sports, and politics crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy, sports, and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy, Sports, and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy, Sports, and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy, Sports, and Politics Crew. Fantasy, Sports, and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, this is Jeff. How's everybody doing tonight?
Well, good. Where's Jerry? Okay, I guess we lost Jerry.
I can't believe it.
It's all good. Ladies and gentlemen, it's me, it's Jeff. Welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew Show. It's myself, and as soon as the master gets back on the line, it'll be him and Jeff the Joker, a.k.a. the Hebrew Hammer. What's up, Jeff?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm good. I'm glad he got you in. I'm not sure what happened to JTATM Money, but he'll be back. I know that Jerry had a few topics he wanted to discuss, one of which being the Riley Cooper situation. I had a different take on it. Even though I'm African American, I'm black, but I have a take on it that some folks might be surprised at, and it actually just my thoughts on the whole situation just changed about 10 minutes ago. My thoughts on the whole situation changed. I'll talk to you about it as well. I believe Jerry wanted to talk about the Hall of Fame. That's happening, the inductees that are happening this Saturday.
LeBron James is the face.
Uh-oh. I guess Jerry's there. He's hitting buttons. We can't hear him. But we got some other things going on. And what else did you want to talk about, Mr. Jeff the Joker?
I feel so old school right now using my landline. It's but it does pay. Sometimes you get it included with a package with internet and cable, and it's good to have for backup sometimes. That's why some people keep these things, because landlines can get expensive and whatever. Doing it old school. As most of you know. I live in the New York area, and we're still waiting for what's going to happen with A-Rod. And, a cat who never was really embraced warmly by the New York fans. And it's very, very interesting.
Well, you didn't hear Jerry's rant Saturday about it, because he went off last Saturday. He sat in for me. And he went off on Bud Selig and the MLB as far as that goes. Jerry's going to call in a minute. But before we get to that, I want you to table that for 1 second. I want to get this information out because I got to go in a little bit. You've heard of what happened with Riley Cooper, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay. First of all, those who don't know, Riley Cooper was at a concert, and he was talking to a security guard. He was slightly inebriated, and he made a comment. He said I'll climb that gate and beat every nigger in there. And that's what he said. At a concert. Now, I don't know what type of concert it was. I don't want to get all into it, but that's what he said. It was recorded and blasted all over the place, on the internet, and everywhere. And the Eagles are in turmoil right now. They're playing. They're doing the cleanup role. Darren Sharper said he played 14 years and he couldn't play with somebody that would think like that. A current player on the Philadelphia Eagles, Shady McCoy, said he has no respect for him and he would not. I mean, not that he would not, but he. This is how Riley Cooper is. Now you really see how he is. Now, I think we got to look at some things here and talk about it. Dr. Harris, the professor of meritorious of sociology at Stanford, famed African-American activists and things of that nature. Just about 10, 15 minutes ago, he made a comment on the NFL Network that made me think. It made me think. And I thought about it this way. Okay, I understand what Darren Sharper said, how he felt. I understand how Shady McCoy feels. And liquor has a way of letting your true feelings come out, right? Well, Dr. Harris said this. The African-American community, we hear offensive language, just like what Riley Cooper said, in our music. We call each other that name, and it's accepted. Now, if you're in that locker room and you're saying this, and you're black, there's nothing thought about it. But as soon as somebody else of a different race calls you this or says it, everybody's up in arms. The only thing I can say about it is Riley Cooper apologized. I don't know him personally. I don't know what he's like. But at the same time, some people that have been with the team for a long time feels that that really wasn't him. Again, like I said, alcohol has a way of loosening up the way people really feel and who they really are. Right, that might have been on his mind at the time. I don't know. I'm quite sure there are plenty of white people, black people that have said racist white things, and me included. But my thought process is, if the guy is sincere about what he said, it's as far as, meaning he didn't really mean to have that happen, he's taking it back, da-da-da-da-da, and some people can accept him for that, why continue to hold a grudge toward him? And I told Jerry that's going to sound like Mac on this one. And, I am. So I don't know what to say, what to do, but that's the way I feel about it. And Jerry's saying he's having some issues with the board, so it's just going to be me and you for a while, okay?
Oh, sounds good.
Because we've got my cousin, we've got Black and him on the line, but it's just you and I that the people can hear right now. So, those are my thoughts on it. I want to know what you think. And again, my view just changed 10 minutes ago because I was one of those, oh, this dude, he plays nice, but where do you get the license to do that? You know what I mean? But after listening to that and thinking about it, just because you're white doesn't give you a license to degrade another black person or anybody else. But at the same time, just because you're black does that give you privilege to downgrade your own people? Is that the double standard? You know what I mean? So what do you think?
I mean, I've heard a lot about this. I would like to see, and this is important, the full context. You know what I mean? What occurred between him and the security guard to provoke that response? Ooh, what was that?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? I'd like to see the full context. You know, what was said, what was done before that led up to that. I'm curious, and I'm not making an excuse for him, if this guy has an anger issue. You know what I mean? I mean, in case people don't know, I'm a white guy. I'll use my white voice. You know, I really don't know why he went off.
No, 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 no. Hold on. You're a white Jewish guy.
Yeah. But you know, on these forms, you know, when you have to do these forms and you have to check off your race, and I like to write in. I just started doing it a few years ago. Ethnic white. Because I don't know why. I'm more comfortable with that. I don't like to write white. I like to write ethnic white. Because there's a difference, you know. I was very close to my dad's parents. You know, they weren't born in this country, and they didn't speak English as a first language. And that's it's a different kind of upbringing than somebody who's, you know, maybe out in the country or up in the country club or something.
Is that your phone?
I don't know.
It ain't mine.
That's my cousin. That's my cousin. I can hear my cousin now. Somebody's calling somebody.
That's not my phone.
I don't think it's mine. It can't
be. Riley Cooper.
Oh, that's black. That's black. Okay, now we got... Only person we're missing is Jerry now. So now we got three of y'all on the line. So,
Are you niggas harassing this Jewish man?
Am I doing what? Am I doing what, Black?
I said, are you niggas harassing this Jewish man?
Hey. Only person we're missing is Jerry. If he hangs up, the show goes dead. Unless he calls back in. Let Jeff finish his part, right? Let Jeff finish his part, and then y'all can jump in.
I should add that, you know, I'm the one, when you listen to the show, when you hear the sirens going off, that's my neighborhood, okay?
Right.
And it's not a white neighborhood. It's not a black neighborhood. It's a rainbow neighborhood, mostly brown and tan, you know? But it's a good neighborhood. And the sirens are only because these kids fall on their bikes and scrape their knee. That's what the sirens are. It's no big deal. You live in Passaic,
you
get used to it.
You guys hear me?
I think we got him.
Huh?
Jerry?
Yes, we can hear you. We can hear you, Jerry.
Okay. I had to call on my cell phone. So I had to call back into the show on my cell phone because for some reason my other phone isn't working or whatever. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, who do we have on the line here?
We got everybody on the line, and Jeff was in the middle of explaining, you know, his views on the Riley Cooper situation.
Mm-hmm.
So let him finish
and then
you can go ahead.
And I'm not excusing Cooper, but this is something I think this is when a decent normal person, sometimes will mess up and drop an ethnic slur. And I'll tell you when it is. Let's say, for example, a white guy's driving in a car. And he gets cut off by another white guy. He goes, that effing jerk, whatever. But then let's say maybe a guy of another race cuts him off. And that will sometimes bring out a slur. You know what I mean? I'm not saying it's right, but I've seen that happen. You know, maybe if Cooper was ticked off at a white guy, he just would have been like, I'll kick all those white guys' butts or something. I'm just scratching my head, and that's why, you know, it's all about the details. And I think, you know, he's been on the Eagles 3 years, and so these guys already know him. If he was a real jerk, I don't know if he is, they'd know it. You'd know at that point what kind of guy he is. If he's a real jerk, he's going to be kind of a loner. If he's an okay guy, it'll get patched up. But he's got to be careful because he's got to practice with these cats. And, you know, he should be wearing knee braces and stuff, all kinds of extra padding
and
stuff.
You know what, Jeff? On that, and I'm going to turn the show back over to Jerry. On that, in practice, you're going to see some of those cats take shots at him, but they're going to need him for the game because he's their second-best receiver. Now, here's what I see happening. Shady McCoy already said, you know, he don't respect him. He doesn't – this is who Riley Cooper is. But during an actual game, I can see he's getting called for a lot of across-the-middle plays. And the ball – I mean, I know Mike Vick is already erratic. So the ball might go a little high, and that linebacker or that safety is going to tattoo him and say, oh, you're going to jump over what fence? You're going to jump over what fence? I can see it happen. Now, again, Dr. Harris was saying that Riley Cooper's going to have to live with this a lot longer than he even thinks he might have to, which is true. He will. And every time he gets on that football field, if he's not hurt and he's the Eagles' second-best receiver – so he's going to play. He will get tattooed every chance he gets. I mean, that's the bottom line. And you know, someone in the chat room, Jim Struggle, says, you know, he was trying to hurt the feelings of the security guard. I get that. But at the same time, alcohol lets people know how you really feel. It loosens you up. It empowers you, just like Zimmerman and that weapon. It empowered Zimmerman. You know what I mean by that? So do I agree with what he said? No, not one freaking bit. But the question I have is what Dr. Harris said. You know, if we allow it in our music, in our everyday talk, and we accept it, why can't we accept this guy?
I've never heard nigger in our music. I've heard nigger, but not nigger.
Okay, I got
it. Just to clarify.
Well, his point was that, you know, if we are going to call each other, not every black person, and every black person does it, but we're going to call each other that, it's going to be in the music, and, you know, just because somebody else outside of the race does it, and now everybody's up in arms about it. What happens in the locker room when another black dude calls another black dude that, or a Latino, half black, half Latino, or full Latino does it, and he's accepted, and it's no big issue with that. You know, that's the dichotomy. I got it. White people have done terrible, terrible things to every race, not just black, but to every race. And there's a lot of atonement that needs to take place, a great deal of it. But at the same time, this guy, you know, he seemed sincere. He seemed, I don't know, only God knows his heart. They have a season to play. But after the season, if they re-sign Jeremy Maclin, Riley Cooper might be in the same freaking boat, sad to say, as Aaron Hernandez. Nobody's going to touch
him. That's the Florida connection, man. All Florida boys.
Did anybody hear his, because I have,
what?
Hello?
I think Jerry got cut off again. Jerry.
Oh, God.
I'm killing you. I hear you, Jerry.
Huh?
We hear you.
Oh, God. This is killing me here. Anyway, did anybody hear his apology?
Yeah.
Because I have it queued up if anyone wants to care to hear it.
Go ahead and play it. I heard it.
Start by saying that I'm extremely embarrassed, extremely hurt, extremely sorry for my actions. I wanted to come up and tell you guys that. I've talked to Mr. Lurie. I talked to Howie Roseman. I talked to Coach Kelly and explained to them the whole situation. And I'm willing to accept any consequences. Once again, I'm extremely sorry. And I'll open it up for any questions y'all have.
Have you talked to your teammates yet?
I have not, but tonight I will.
How difficult is that going to be, discussing this with your teammates and apologizing for them?
It's going to be very difficult for me. I'm going to tell them I'm extremely sorry and tell them exactly what I'm telling you guys. There was a confrontation, and I just handled it extremely, extremely poorly.
When you're in the locker room where the majority of your teammates are black, how do you let that word come out of your mouth?
I shouldn't have. I'm disgusted, and I'm sorry. That's not the type of person I am. And I wasn't raised that way. I got a great mom and dad at home, and they're extremely, extremely disappointed in me.
What did Chip Kelly say to you when you spoke to him?
He said, go out and face this, and tell him exactly what you just told me, how sorry you are for what you said.
Did he give you an indication of what kind of discipline may come?
Yes, I was fine.
Was the coach there at this event with you or other teammates, and did they know about this prior to today?
I was by myself. I was by myself.
What was going on out there? What happened before this made you react this way?
There was a confrontation with me and one of the security guards, and I'm not going to get into what happened, but I said something that was absolutely disgusting and terrible, and I should not have handled it the way I handled it. It was
terrible. Right, what do you think your punishment should be?
Well, it was up to Mr. Lurie and Howie and Coach Kelly. They all met and they came to the agreement to fine me.
In these past 2 months, did you know the video was out there? The video was out there?
It was brought to my attention a couple hours ago.
Do you expect it to be disciplined from the league as well?
I'm not sure. I don't know what will happen in that regard.
Had you had too much to drink at the time when it happened? Had you had too much to drink?
I was drinking. But that is no excuse for what I said and what I did. Absolutely not.
Have you used that term before? Like,
I don't use that.
Okay, there's a couple of things I want to say. A guy in the chat room said that this happened a month ago, and if he was so ashamed of it, why didn't he apologize to his teammates the day after? And from what that comment, from what he was saying, did the coach tell him to apologize, or was that on his own, for one? And also, the other thing I want to bring out is, and this guy has been a wild card ever since his name had been on the map from West Virginia. I'm talking about Marcus Vick, who's Michael Vick's brother. He's wilding out. He went on Twitter, offered a $1,000 bounty to whoever laid Riley Cooper out. Put a bounty on him? That's crazy. Anybody want to comment on that? Go for it.
Nobody's listening to Marcus Vick and his chump change offer, but yeah, I understand this did take place a while back. This is media just caught a hold of it. This is a bad thing. I see Riley Cooper developing Percy Harvin and Travis Best type syndrome during this season. It's going to be a bad season for that guy.
Anybody else want to tackle this?
You know, I can only think of one somewhat similar situation, and surprisingly, I haven't heard anyone mention it. Kerry Collins had a somewhat similar situation. I don't know if anybody remembers, but when he played for Carolina, and I thought Jerry would remember. The difference is, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, you know, Collins was out in a bar with a couple of teammates, And he used the word that white guys can't call black guys. It was, you know, he was hanging out with friends. It wasn't like he was making a threat or being mean. He just was, you know, had a few drinks, was a little too comfortable. And I guess, you know, he hears these guys calling each other that all the time. He called one of them that, and oops. And he got a lot of heat over it. Nothing like this Cooper thing. And he was very apologetic. But that was when he had a lot of other things going on towards the end of his time in Carolina. And it was just one of the reasons he left. And, you know, he had a couple good years there, but it went down the tubes. And he got a bum rap. But he had a lousy stint with the Saints. And when the Giants signed Collins, I was livid. Because, you know, I thought Collins, he had allegedly had a drinking problem. I didn't think he was that good of a quarterback and, you know, and all this other stuff. And I'm just thinking, I can't believe they signed this guy. Also, we had a lot of turnovers. But as a Giant, he was good but not great. And he kept out of trouble. But supposedly, when Collins first came to the Giants, he was not embraced by all his teammates.
Right. I can believe that.
He won him over, but there was a minor incident. I think it was during the mini camp. Somebody took his stuff and moved it into another locker. That was Philippi Sparks. And then afterwards, he said, it was just a practical joke. But it was not appreciated by the coaches and the management. And but like I said, Collins is one of these guys who, you know, he made his mistakes. He didn't kill anybody, and he straightened himself out. He straightened out his career. He straightened out his life. But, you know, there was no threat. There was no, you know, going off, you know, on YouTube thing with Collins. But Collins did recover from that.
Yep. And I think that's one of the things that I'm not saying it was the thing, but I think it was one of the many things that happened to him in Carolina. And he did have a drinking problem that he sought help, and I think I'm pretty sure he stopped drinking from that. Not from that incident, but a series of things that happened caused by drinking. So
I think this dude was he sounded very remorseful or whatever. I think his apology was enough. There's never, I mean, for all the beautiful white listeners that are within the sound of my voice, it is never a good idea to use the word. Never, ever, ever. You know, and don't even get into the whole conversation, that whole conversation about us using it and getting confused. Don't even get into it. Don't use it. No, I'm serious.
I know you're serious.
No, I'm just being as cool and as straight as I can say it to you. Because the whole notion that us, you know, that black people using it with each other and that it's okay gives more weight to a white privilege that you don't need. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, you got everything else. What else you need? You don't need that. It's not even. I don't even understand why it's still a serious debate, because you have people like Tim Allen coming out trying to use it and making a case to use it. Rush Limbaugh, he just took license on it, and based on you know different things that he said. But I think this youngin was genuinely angry or drunk, you know what I'm saying, was half-cocked or whatever. And he sounded very remorseful. He sounded very, very remorseful. You know, I feel sorry for him, you know, a little bit, you know, because in the heat of anger, you're gonna say a lot of different things, you know what I'm saying? But I find it strange that we're the only community where everybody's trying to get licensed to use it. You know what I'm saying? You don't get license to use the K word. You don't get a license to use the S word. But everybody want to get license to use the N word or make a case as to why they should use it. You know what I'm saying? Or then again, internalize it like we normally do. We have to internalize so much stuff, you know, not to complain or whatever, but we do it with grace. But if there's some young brothers out there that's saying it or whatever and they doing what they don't, they're young. They don't know no better. When they get older, they'll find out. You know,
right?
But that does not give license to every. Just please don't use it. Don't use God. Geez.
Okay, we're going to move on. Because this is a lot of news in the sports world, and one of them is a young buck that I think he's heading down the road of another guy that came into the NFL with a lot of hoopla and with that dreaded four-letter word is no longer into the NFL. I'm talking about bust. And I'm talking about the last year's Heisman Trophy winner, Johnny Manziel. It seems like from getting out thrown out of a frat party and being scrutinized for whatever he does. He's 20 years old, and I think this kid is headed toward Ryan Leaf territory. And this is in my opinion, all right, because from what I'm seeing, from what I'm reading about his mother and father, they're not hurting for money. They're pretty well off, let me put it that way. And he seemed like he's a spoiled kid for one. The reason I'm saying that is because he went to his father. This is just a story before I go on. He went to his father wanting a black Mercedes. His father said no. He kept pressuring his father, sweating his father, until he got his Mercedes. And after he got his Mercedes, for whatever reason and for wherever it was on campus, somebody keyed his black Mercedes. Okay? Now, this tells me this kid is a spoil because supposedly, and for the article I'm reading, that he has a super big temper, meaning that usually comes from I don't know if he's an only child. He may be an only child. I'm not sure about that. But it usually comes from a kid that's used to getting his own way, and when he doesn't get his own way, he starts throwing a fit and having a temper. And he's drinking, eating Skittles. Now, this is from his dad. He ate Skittles, drank beer, and he won the Heisman. That's from Paul Manziel. I'm thinking this kid, now, he's a freshman. So he's going into the sophomore year. He already said that he can't wait to get out of Texas A&M. He got thrown out of a frat party. He got with that Peyton and Eli Manning's quarterback camp, and he got pretty much sent away from that because supposedly he overslept, and supposedly because the reason he overslept is because he drank heavily or he indulged the night before. So all those things coming, and I know this has been long, but all those things coming gives me the idea that this kid, if he ever or whenever he comes to the NFL, if he doesn't mature, is going to be that dreaded four-letter word which happens to end with a – starts with a B and ends with a T and is a bust. And I got one quick quote, and then I'll come back and get your guys' comments.
Danny, when you see the stories surrounding Johnny Manziel and Wright Thompson, the outstanding journalist, video and sports journalist from ESPN, did a piece that was recently published, and it explains a great deal. But I think a lot of people would want to know what your interpretation of someone who's got a troubled background or perhaps was growing up in an environment that didn't necessarily prepare him to the fullest extent for what is going to happen. What were your innermost thoughts when you saw that?
Well, you know, one, I want to be clear. I'm probably not as up to speed on all the details as others. I haven't caught a lot of the news recently, so I don't want to
be
speaking like an expert at all.
Sure.
But, you know, I will say one thing that I know is we all of us have parts that are you know, undeveloped, broken, affected, mm-hmm. and typically, you know, you can bear so much pressure, and then depending on how much you struggle or how much undeveloped you are, you know, that pressure of life or whatever it is can cause you to snap or break or just really be overwhelmed. And I think, you know, the amount of pressure for a young man, I mean, that age, I mean, I even think of the difference, Tim, between me as a freshman and me as a senior, just in my own mind and psyche, and it was a big difference.
Sure it was.
And so I think, you know, it's just I understand it. It's a shame, and it's also a shame that, like you said, everyone in the world knows every detail about it, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's not,
yeah, right.
It's not like just some things he's dealing with.
All right, for those who didn't know, and I should have prefaced it before I played the clip, that was Danny Werfel, the 1996 Heisman Trophy winner. So he knows about the pressure of a quarterback winning the Heisman Trophy and dealing with it after the fact. I'm going to go to Mikal, and then Jeff, and then I just lost Mikal. I'm going to go to Jeff, and then Black, on your comments about Mr. Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not very impressed with his offseason, needless to say. You know, I mean, he's already a question mark for the NFL with his size, with his arm strength. And, you know, NFL scouts look at this stuff, too. I mean, if he can't handle this pressure, how's he going to handle the pressure of the NFL? So he's looking like a very marginal NFL prospect. Now, I'm curious, looking at the history of the Heisman, which the Heisman is one of the greatest awards in all of sports. It really is. I mean, people like Roger Staubach have said 20 years afterwards, you still get introduced as a Heisman winner. That's how big the Heisman is. I mean, even if you do nothing as a pro, just to be a Heisman winner is such a great honor. And I wonder if this kind of circus is going to cut down on the votes freshmen get. I mean, usually freshmen don't get many votes, and Manziel was the first freshman winner because, you know, they're you know, I guess Tebow was a sophomore, I think, and there have been some juniors, and it's hard to tell because you don't know when guys are leaving school now. But the thing is, when you give the award to a senior or a junior who's getting ready to leave, you don't have to deal with the nonsense of them hanging around school and coming back for another year. So it's an entirely different situation. You know, when I was a kid, Tony Dorsett wins the Heisman. Boom, he didn't go back to Pittsburgh. He went to the Dallas Cowboys, you know. There was no drama at Pittsburgh, you know. He moved to the next level. And this is going to happen sometimes when you give a Heisman to a freshman or a sophomore. So I wonder if it'll affect the voting.
Right. Black?
You know, Johnny Manziel plays in one of my favorite conferences, the SEC. The guy... He's a freshman. You know, you got to take yourself back to when you were a freshman in college. I'm sure you did some crazy, crazy things. Young kid, just all eyes on him right now. He's suffering from the Justin Bieber syndrome right now. Young guy, all eyes on him. He does everything. Everything is scrutinized. He can walk across the street and something could happen and he gets scrutinized. He's a young guy, man. I forgive his actions right now. He's a young cat, freshman Heisman winner. That hasn't been done a lot of pressure on him, but, you know, he might be a spoiled brat, like you say, Jerry. He's not really a high NFL prospect right now, but take a look at the last guy who had a lot of controversy last year from Notre Dame. I wonder if you remember his name.
Montateo, yes, I understand who you're talking about, yes.
Montateo has the highest-selling jersey in the NFL right now.
I thought it was Colin Kaepernick.
Monty Teo.
Does Monty Teo have the highest rookie jersey?
The highest rookie jersey in the NFL right now.
Okay.
So all right. Publicity, even though it could be bad, it could be good, it all works. It all works in the end.
Well, his girlfriends are buying a lot of jerseys, you know. They're buying them up.
Macau, what do you have to say about Mr. Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel?
My prestigious colleague that's a Cowboy fan stole all my thunder. You know, I agree with everything he said. I think he's a youngin'. I think the spotlight is too much for him right now. And I think it just has to do with him being young. You know, I agree with him being spoiled and being a little brat or whatever. Yeah, and he may have a little temper or whatever. I'm not making excuses for him. I never thought that he was I didn't see anything from him that would tell me that he would be great in the NFL, because I didn't, you know, from the things I've seen from him, he pretty much doesn't do too much strong. So, you know, that's yet to be seen. So, like I said, I agree with Black. I think he's young. You know, he's got a lot of maturing to do. You know, whether it's going to come early, you know, like it needs to be while he's, you know, with the spotlight on, I don't think so. I mean, that's all I got on that. I hope he doesn't. You know, I hope he doesn't bust out, but it's looking like he's going to bust out, you know. So.
Well, the thing I'm saying is this, that he won it as a freshman. So if you have the pressure of winning the Heisman as a freshman, and he won the Heisman, and then leading up to this next season, the pressure is only going to mount that much more. So if you can't handle, or you take go way overboard on your fame leading up to your next season, once you won the Heisman, what's going to happen when the pressure and you don't possibly do as well as you did the previous year when you won the Heisman?
Yeah, but Jerry, that whole conversation, that conversation you just had, that question, you know, with a mm-hmm. conversation intertwined in it, that's too much for that young dude, man. You can't, it's like, you know, some guys you can have that conversation with. I feel where you're coming from, and I agree with you, but he ain't there. He ain't even there. He's not even there, so we probably get him in there, probably play PlayStation with him. He'd probably be fighting over that joint. Be like the dude on Boondocks, be shooting the joint, and then the butler come and replace it.
Okay, I understand what you're saying. Well, I'm anxious to see when the season starts in the next month or so how he's going to play.
I think he'll be fine. He won the Heisman. I mean, that's the biggest trophy you can win in college football. I think he'll be fine. This will be his sophomore season. That's how he's looking at it, and that's how I'm looking at it. He'll be fine.
There's no place to go but down. You follow me? There's no place to go.
I follow you. His numbers might not be the same, but if they win, they win.
Well, see, but what I'm saying, you and I are probably on the same line of thinking, but the media, if his numbers aren't what they were when he won the Heisman, they're going to be all over. What's wrong? Why aren't you doing the same thing you did when you won the Heisman? And that's just going to put more pressure on this kid to go out and try to do too much.
I think he'll go the Bryce Harper way and be like, come on, bro, it's a stupid question.
You know, there's only been one back-to-back Heisman winner.
Yeah, Archie Griffin, right?
That's right. And he was a bit of a disappointment as a pro, but back then Ohio State had an incredible offensive line. He racked up some yards, but in the NFL he was, basically a third down back for the Bengals, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
All things will reveal themselves on one of the greatest days of this calendar year, September 14th. Texas A&M takes a trip to Tuscaloosa to play Alabama Also on that day, Mayweather fights Canelo. And also on that day, Matisse fights Garcia. September 14th, just put it in your calendar. All things will reveal themselves that opening game for them.
Okay. Well, there's another thing I want to cover. We move on from the NFL, football, whether it's NFL or college. Let's move on to the hardwood, or should I say the boardroom of the hardwood. There's been talk, and I know you guys probably have heard this or seen it somewhere in the last few days or whatever, that after all the drama of the past year with the NBA that saw Billy Hunter's tenure as director ending about the messiest way possible, the union is looking for a new direction. One of their primary concerns was getting better players who are currently active, more involved in the process in order to keep the concerns of the current players more firmly in mind and have a vested interest in the outcome of negotiations and decisions. The new name that is considered running for president of the union to replace outgoing Derek Fisher, I think you guys heard this already, is Miami Heat forward and MVP LeBron James. the game's best player and most popular player, is mulling a bid for the union presidency. And this is a quote from LeBron James that was told to FoxSports.com. It's something that he has talked about with a small group of people, a source with a close tie to James. He was very vocal at the meeting during the All-Star weekend about the need for the union to dramatically change. There's a new executive director coming and new commissioner, and he recognizes that this is the time for the union to change. Now, I have a clip from Stephen A. and First Take and Skip Bayless that talk about who the candidates may be for the executive director of the NBA. I'm going to play that, and we'll come back and talk about Mr. LeBron James and the direction of what the NBA is about to go to.
LeBron James is the face of this league and the face of basketball worldwide as far as I'm concerned. Obviously, Kobe's up in there along with several others, but LeBron is the best player in the world. I happen to know that he would be an incredible leader in my estimation, because it's one thing, you know, you're the owners and you're sitting across from the table from the best player in the game, who's now a champion, who dedicates himself to excellence the way that he does, who cares a lot about the players on a very, very personal level and obviously their interest. And more importantly, who has very little to gain by it, because he has his money, he has his wealth. He has his fame. He has his celebrity. So he doesn't need to do this. If he were doing it, it would be for all the right reasons. And that's because he would be caring about the best interest of the players, not just current players, but moving forward as well. He would have the assistance of one of the ultimate basketball ambassadors, as far as I'm concerned, in Chris Paul. I don't know whether Chris Paul wants the presidency or not. I haven't spoken to him about it. I know at one time he was in line for it, but I'm being told that obviously he would be in support of LeBron James as well. Remember, they're incredibly tight with one another. Chris Paul is the godfather of one of his children, so there's no doubt about that on that level. So I think it would be an incredible thing, but you also have to keep in mind that you're also going to need that cachet, that leadership, in light of some of the things that transpired. Remember, Skip, that Derek Fisher, the now former president of the NBPA, this is a guy that obviously is at odds with former executive director Billy Hunter. They need to resolve that, by the way, because it's not good for anybody for them to have friction with one another. And I'm being told that Derek Fisher is in support of you know, sort of reaching an agreement, some kind of accord with Billy Hunter, assuming they're willing to talk to one another. But the point that I bring that up about is that you can't have that kind of stuff. And it's real easy to get into a fight with a Derek Fisher, who is a role player and now a journeyman in the NBA, as opposed to LeBron James, the best player in the world, who has the support of a large body of players out there. You're also going to have five individuals, Skip, that are now vying for the executive director's position in the Players Association, and I'll announce it right here on television. I can tell you who those five dudes are. One of them, obviously, is, you've got Isaiah Thomas. He would like to be the executive director of the Players Association, and I think that's a viable option. You've got Stu Jackson.
Yep.
I definitely think that that's a possibility. Let's not ignore that. You've got Fred Whitfield, who's Michael Jordan's right-hand man. I'm being told that he's interested in that. You've got David Cornwell, the lawyer for Alex Rodriguez, who's represented players in New York, and obviously he's a lawyer by trade and really, really knows what he's doing. And, of course, there's the former president for the New York Knicks, former employee of the NBA, widely respected and is closely associated with Irvin Magic Johnson as well, and former president of the New York Knicks in Madison Square Garden, Steve Mills. So you got Isaiah Thomas, Steve Mills, Stu Jackson, Fred Whitfield, okay, and David Cornwell. In the end, what matters most is who's the Players Association. Because even though the executive director runs the Players Association, he answers to the players, meaning the president of the Players Association. That's the real boss of the Players Association. And you need somebody who's not going to be compromised, okay? And that is LeBron James. Trust me. I think that's a fabulous choice, and I think it's a fabulous position for LeBron James because he's a better leader than people give him credit for.
Okay.
Why was Isaiah Thomas' name even mentioned? What are they thinking about?
Hey, it's out there. What can I tell you?
Bullshit. Why is Isaiah Thomas' name in?
Oh, God.
You know,
he
killed the CBA.
Right. I'll let you.
He killed the Knicks, too.
Got some choice words about Isaiah and Mr. LeBron James.
Well, I'm basically going to ask you guys about is your thoughts on LeBron James as a president of the National Basketball Players Association. Jeff?
You know, I mean, I don't know if you remember this. A couple of years ago, LeBron put his foot in his mouth, which, you know, he usually has enough sense to realize he's got to be very careful what he does because a lot of eyes are on him. A couple of years ago, he said the NBA should contract a couple teams. Oops. That doesn't sound like a guy who's thinking about the union. You know, you think there might be a better qualified guy, you know. And also, LeBron must have a very, very busy schedule with appearances and endorsements and all kinds of business.
Thank you.
You know, there might be a guy who's got less on his plate. Also, with all due respect to LeBron, he didn't go to college. I mean, the NBA, you got guys like, I think he just retired, like Grant Hill. You got a guy, just for example, like Jeremy Lin went to Ivy League school. You know, there's guys like that who might be a little more qualified on the business end, you know. There's probably guys in the NBA who went to school for pre-law, might be going to law school in the off-season. You know what I mean? I think LeBron, they probably want him on board, you know, the most visible player to be part of the, you know, a big part of the association. But I don't know about president. There might be a better qualified guy.
Macau.
Man, I don't know what is up with Stephen A. Smith, but I swear he like to lather up some dude and just, I'm serious. I mean, the only thing he had to do was just get down on his knees and start working his neck a little bit. I mean, God. that was just ridiculous. I mean, are you going to sit here and say that LeBron is not going to be compromised? Really? Let's go back to the decision. That was a bad move, man. That was a bad move. And that was I wasn't mad at him as a business person taking himself as a business. I thought it was a good move on that respect. But as far as, you know, the fans of Cleveland and the effect of the team and all that, he can't. So, no, he is not a good leader. And he has shown that over and over and over again during the playoffs. I mean, it was
like pulling out teeth. It was like, yo, we know you got it in you, Slim. Come on, do it. Was everybody watching the same finals I was watching? I mean, because no, this dude is not. He is not that material. And then I love absolutely everything that my man was just saying just now. He has got to have one of the craziest schedules between him endorsement deals, you know, doing commercials, practicing, doing this and that, and now head of the No. I think it should be someone that definitely will not be compromised and definitely that is seasoned to this game and seasoned to how they play these different mind games and whatnot. Somebody like a Chauncey Billups or, you know, somebody like that, man. Somebody that's calm and cool and not all eyes on him. If LeBron does this, I wouldn't even respect it. It would just be more of an ego grab, in my opinion. I don't see where Stephen A. got all this from. But as far as him being such this great leader, I don't see it. I mean, I'm about 50-50 on that, and you don't need somebody 50-50, you know, leading the Players Association. I mean,
right.
Because he liable to do anything. He is liable to sell out everybody. You know what I mean? Which, you know, but if you're selling out for yourself, you know, there ain't nothing wrong with it because it's a business. But it's another thing to carry everybody's burden on your back, and LeBron has shown that he has issues with carrying everybody's burden on his back. He got a big issue with that. That's like one of his biggest things. We seen it play out last year. We seen it play out the year before that and the year before that. I mean, he's progressing, you know what I mean? But, no, I'm not signing off on this.
All right, Black. You got the last word on this.
Yeah, I don't want to lather him up any more than Stephen A. did. I think you should have a different choice. I don't see LeBron. No, I can't see it. I can't.
Okay. I just put it out there because the simple fact is it just came up in the last few days, and he is the he's the most popular name, I guess. Two back-to-back world titles in the NBA, and he's the most popular player supposedly in the NBA. So to him to come out and say that, in my opinion, it seems like an ego thing. He may truly care about his fellow NBA players, but it's just something else that he want to grab some attention to, in my opinion. But I could be wrong. We come to about a minute and a half left in the show. I'm going to close it out. I'm going to give Macau, as always, a chance to promote the show before we close out here and then get a couple last words from Jeff and Black before we close it out. Macau, you got the floor first.
My cousin isn't around. He gone?
He left about 20 minutes into the show.
Oh, dang. I was going to take a shot. Well, anyway, grown up real talk technique. Huh?
You can still take
a
shot.
Go ahead. Nah, I'm alone. I like to take a shot while you're listening. But check me out.
Keep it at Stephen Curry right quick.
Check me out each and every Tuesday night, Grown Soul and Real Talk, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have a wealth of conversation. It could be about sports. It could be about life. It could be about why your girlfriend don't love you no more, Slim. Could be about that. But check us out. It's always Grown. And check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/Grown Soul. Thanks, Jerry.
No problem. All right, Jeff, it's on you.
Well, earlier this week I was talking with a buddy about there was some talk, Greg Jennings talking about that Favre is better than Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers was saying some stuff, you know. I think Rodgers is better than Favre. The only thing you know, against Rodgers is he hasn't put together the body of work yet, because you got to give Favre some credit for his longevity. But and another thing, I don't like to think about the psychology too much in the pros, because they're pros, it's a job. But a lot of guys, I don't think mentally could have taken replacing Favre. I don't think they could have done it, the pressure. And this guy did it and then some. All he's got to do is keep doing it. They'll never forget Favre, but believe me, I think he's better.
Okay. All right, Black.
Yes, sir. Fellas, everybody inboxed me that was in the league last year, putting it out. It's time to some type of agreements on a draft date, and I'll put it up, and we'll get rolling with that. August 23rd, your friend the boxing, you're on the East Coast. Our good friend of the show, Dusty Harrison, has a fight card at Dover Downs, August 23rd. Dusty is 16-0, man, looking to go 17-0. Go ahead and support the home team if you can.
All right. With that being said, I want to thank Jeff Black and, of course, Macau for joining me tonight. For the listening audience, I want to apologize earlier in the program for some technical difficulties on my side. Hopefully it won't happen next week, but you never know. This is Block Talk Radio, so you never know what's going to happen, but we just deal with what we can deal with and move on. With that being said, tune in next week, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, same place, same date, time, and with the same host of characters. And also, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time tomorrow will be No Chaser with Mac Williams. I guarantee you, if we don't have a host, me and Mac go at it. Trust me. I'm not sure if we have a host tomorrow. I don't know if we have a host tomorrow. We do. Okay. But if we don't, I don't know if we have a guest tomorrow, but if we don't, and even if we do, we're still going to go at it because that's how we roll. I'm not saying we're oil and water, but our views are oil and water. That's it.
Fire and water.
Yeah, there you go. 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time tomorrow night. Also on 1 p.m. on Saturday. Until probably sometime in October, you'll be hearing my voice on fantasy sports and politics. Vic will be going away, and I'll be handling Saturday's show, 1 p.m. And I'll be
calling early every Thursday.
So and starting to Saturday, I'm going to be talking about fantasy, and one of the first positions I'm talking about because of what happened last weekend. I didn't get a chance to talk to the position I wanted to talk about, so I'm covering it on Saturday. Will be quarterbacks. I'm talking about fantasy quarterbacks, ranking the fantasy quarterbacks. And then on Sunday, I'm ranking the fantasy wide receivers. Next Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, I'll be doing next Sunday, I'll be doing the tight ends and the ending it up on the 18th of August with the running backs. So 7 p.m.,
When are you doing the receivers? I understand Riley Cooper is shooting up a lot of fantasy draft boards.
Well, I'm doing the receivers on Sunday. I was supposed to do quarterbacks last Sunday, but I was on a heavy rant. I think Macau joined me. I was on a heavy rant of Alex Rodriguez Major League Baseball. And I didn't get a chance.
Yeah, we went in on Alex.
We
did like about an hour and a half on Alex.
Yeah.
On A-Rod?
Yeah.
So I'm making up for lost time with the Saturday show on 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Coming back with wide receivers in fantasy, 10 a.m. on Sunday. And then don't forget, on Monday, Sylvia Crawley-Mibry is doing timeout, which is 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Monday. Hell of a show. Tune in. with all that being said, I talked a lot. I said a lot. Like I said, I'm thank you all who joined me tonight. Be well. Enjoy the weekend. And we're out.
Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics.